you think about her when you're gone. Kiss an angel good morning and love her like the devil when you get back home.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. A lovely summer's morning, and I feel as if it's all a gift. Life is all a gift. The beauty of the sunrise, the freshness of the air. And today I hope to complete what's been a kind of a bit of a series on the nature of the love of God. And what I've been saying is there are three primary dimensions, stages, bases, progression in how God loves and how we are to learn how to love as God loves. And the cross sort of represents it. So the downward beam, the first phase is receiving. Love begins as something that we receive, whether we're talking about infants receiving that first loving pair of arms by mother and or dad. And for each of these, there is a sacrament. A sacrament signifies a visible means by which we can experience, depending on our faith, our openness, and readiness, we can receive this love of God. And baptism is really how we do that. So, it has, I'm not sure I'm getting my sound here. Oh, well. So the first stage of baptism or of receiving love is baptism. That's something that God does to us. We receive this gift that symbolizes both the forgiveness, the washing away of our history up and down. And secondly, it signifies the receiving of how God loves us with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus actually came to give us two baptisms. There are two baptisms in the New Testament, the baptism of water for repentance, which John the Baptizer initiated, getting ready for the second baptism, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the love of God that Jesus came to bring. And then the second base after you've received is sharing that which you have received. Jesus says, so give, so share. And the sacrament here is the Lord's Supper. Now, in each of these three sacraments, all three elements, receiving, sharing, and giving, are present in a different way. So in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist, Jesus is giving his body and blood to us, and at the same time, he's sharing it. Do this in remembrance of me. And so literally at that Thursday night initiation of the institution of the Lord's Supper, they passed the bread around and they passed the cup around. They shared. Sharing, Paul talks about the taking of the elements of communion as a sharing in the body and blood of Christ. And the wonderful term is koinonia in Greek, which means that which is common. Love is common, shared. We have received the love of God, now we are sharing it. And now I'm going to turn to the third stage, like three bases going home in a baseball game. First base is receiving, second is sharing, third is giving. And the sacrament, even though the church strangely, and that's another whole story, does not recognize foot washing as a sacrament, as in the Protestants you have the two sacraments we've just talked about, and for the Roman Catholic there are seven, foot washing. I talked about that last time. In John 13, Jesus washes his disciples' feet and institutes foot washing, clearly saying three times, Do this to one another. If I, who am your master, do it, then you who are the servants are not, and disciples are not above the master, are you? So if I do it, you do it. He tells them to do it three times. And interesting, here is where we actually, if you listen up, begin in washing each other's feet to do what God does. in receiving in baptism, we're just passive. We're receiving the baptism. In the sharing of the body and blood of Christ, we're still just open. We're sharing. It's right there before us. In foot washing, however, we become active. We are actually seeking both to have our feet washed, which is as humbling as being baptized, and symbolizes, again, being cleansed after baptism. So Bernard de Clairvaux said that for him, foot washing was a sacrament of the ongoing forgiveness of God, how we continue to be cleansed and forgiven all the way through. So this is a way in which we begin to participate, actually participate in loving others as God loves us. And Jesus tells us that in John 14, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." That always stops me. And I think even of in the military, of people laying down their lives for their buddies, for their friends. That ultimate self-giving. "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father." And this next part sure gets me. "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." This is how we love, through self-giving love. We receive through baptism. We share constantly the elements of communion that's an ongoing every week. And we give to one another through foot washing, as we become instruments, as it were, agents of Christ. We are the body of Christ here on earth. And the term for that symbol of service is diakonia, from which you get diaconate. Now, just as we are, if you kind of follow my logic here, just as we're made, we're told, we're made in the image of God. That image, we get freshened, received anew through baptism, which is the receiving of the love of God. And we become more and more like Christ through sharing in his body and blood, through communion, through sharing love, the love of God, with one another. So we attain the likeness of God, that we're called to be in the image and the likeness of God through the giving of love, through doing the very thing that God does. For self-giving love is the baptism of Christ, who came to give himself to us. Now, I have a kind of a question to ask you. What do you think your deepest need is? To more generalize it, what do you think the deepest need in the human soul is? What's the deepest need? As the poet Tagore puts it, "I'm only waiting for love to give myself up at last into his hands." I believe that our deepest soul need, hunger, desire, is to give ourselves wholly to love and in love. We seek to abandon ourselves in love for the sake of love. You know, Jesus said we were not made for the law, but the law was made for us. Well, I would venture to say that love was not made for love. We were made for love. Love is the absolute. God is love. And the deepest need is to give ourselves, yield ourselves to love through being lovers of humanity and God. We are created not only in order to love God and to glorify and honor God, but to become co-workers with God, in bringing the kingdom of love, the kingdom of heaven to other people. And each of us has his or her specific gifts. Paul talks about that in the wonderful 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The statement that all of us have is charisma, which is a gift of grace. Everybody has some kind of a gift to bring as a part of the body of Christ. All lovers of God receive gifts to give to others. And so carry out this love of community, of life, of God. We're all receivers of gifts. And we all have tasks to be done, assigned for us by God. Boy, the older I get, the more I recognize, the more rapidly I recognize when I'm doing something that seems to, okay, this is a God moment, and maybe this is a God gift. Smiling, saying the right thing. Cooking up bacon this morning for my granddaughters. For me, that was just an act of love. I can say that in a sense that's a God moment. Any act of love is a God moment. We're all here to do things, and we dare not say in effect, well, let someone else do that, because we may be the only person to give the smile, to answer the phone, to give the right word at the right time with God's help. We're not designed to go to heaven necessarily alone. What if it is true, as some have said, that when we get to the other side, Peter, or whoever the welcoming agent is going to say, so who did you bring with you? Yeah, but I got myself. Yeah, but who have you loved? Who did you give love to? Who did you receive love from? With whom did you share love? Put a little differently, we're all called to become saints. But the saint is not, you know, the perfect, sinless person who never makes mistakes and never has bad thoughts and temptations and all that stuff. That's not true, because we're all human. The saint is the one who daily says yes to this open receiving, sharing, and giving the love of God. A saint is not self-righteous, but self-giving. Not self-centered, but God-centered. Not self-conscious, but God-conscious. Which reminds me of a story, real quick story. Years ago, at a workshop given by a priest from Boston in Cedar Rapids back in the late 80s. I was there and happened to be one of the people sitting at his table for lunch. And he told this remarkable story. This priest was a nervous wreck. He smoked and all that stuff. And he said that he was in the crew from Boston University, where he taught, who greeted Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was there to give a few talks, and he got to go to the airport to greet Mother Teresa. Anyway, there she was, all calm and relaxed, and her only luggage was her purse. So, anyway, when they got to the auditorium that night, the place was so packed, they had bleachers on the stage. It was just thousands of people. And this priest said, this is, you know, the priest's own story. He said, I was a nervous wreck, so I said to Mother Teresa, would you, Mother, would you like to go in the green room and, you know, kind of get ready? She looked at him and said, oh, no, I'm ready. So she walked her way, wound her way out, and talked for a good hour, just being who she was. Later that night at the reception, and this is a story I'll never forget. I haven't forgotten it all those years. This priest went up to her and said, Mother Teresa, you were just amazing. How are you able to be so calm? And here's what she said to him. You are self-conscious. I am God-conscious. Wow. What the world needs, above all, are more saints, models of Christ-likeness, who will actually do the love deeds of God. Put another way, if the gospel is true, then we have to make it true in our own life. It's been said, you know, what your truth is what you actually make true, not just your words, but your way, not just doing the talking, but doing the deeds. Because as Jesus teaches, you know the tree by the fruit. I've told this to many people. We are what we do, not what we say. It's so easy to say the words, but to do it, that's saying, this is who you are. And satyagraha is a word, a Sanskrit word that Gandhi used. Satyagraha meant truth force. Gandhi believed with this nonviolent behavior that led to the independence of India and inspired Martin Luther King Jr. He believed that if you manifest through your life what your truth is, it has a force. If you believe in love and you are willing to die for it, you are literally a martyr. And martyrio in Greek means one who witnesses with one's being what is their truth. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's the giving. And let's stop here for just a couple minutes.
This is Pam with Great Clips Muscatine, inviting you to stop in and see us for a great haircut across from Walmart on Highway 61. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 83. Westerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows around 65 tonight, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, 83. Low 80s Tuesday, mid-80s Wednesday, with a chance for scattered storms. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
And we're back now. More with Dr. Hal Green.
Okay, we continue. Now I've got some incredible scripture passages that speak to the phenomenon that the more you give, the more you get. You are what you give. What you get is what you have given. First, Luke 18, 28-30. Then Peter said, look, we have left our homes and followed you. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Interesting. Luke 6, I've quoted this to people in a variety of contexts, 37-38. Would that we could actually live out these words, my friends. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Oh, be a stingy giver, you get a little bit stingy back. It depends on us. And then Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Boy, I tell myself that a lot. Don't give up, whatever else you do. So then whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. You know, it's through giving that we actually glorify God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says something that my mother, in a book she had, her pastor had handwritten this verse. So I grew up kind of looking at that penmanship and thinking about exactly what the meaning of the words. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine. Before that, Jesus said, no one lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light, to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. That's who you are. That's the light of the love of God. And if you don't light up your quadrant, there may be darkness because you have hidden what God has put in you. Your destiny, my destiny, comes only through giving yourselves in love. That is our true destiny. If we do not, we will earn and thus receive only our fate. Many are living a miserable fate because they daily refuse the destiny God is calling them to choose in Christ through receiving, sharing, and giving God's love. Interesting point. Now think about this. Where receiving the love of God heals us, just that God will come in and heal us, that cleansing of the Spirit. Sharing that love brings us to wholeness, because we are whole together. Wholeness is union with loved ones. Giving the love of God to others is the way of and to our holiness. It's the great givers who are the holy ones, the givers of the love of God. Now, there are three areas, by the way, of self-giving. In each is essential if you're to carry out the mandate to love as Jesus loves, of the love of God, so that God's love will not return to you empty, but complete the purpose for which God sent it. And you read that in Isaiah 55. God gives us love and expects a return from it, and we will return. That love of God will carry us back. What we receive will seek to share with God and with others and to give it away, because the more you give, the more you get. All three of these are to be carried out for Christ's sake, even before our own. All right, first, giving to and for yourself. You got to love yourself. We're told in Leviticus and then out of Jesus' mouth and out of Paul's mouth and James, love your neighbor as yourself, not more than yourself, not less than yourself, but as yourself. Well, if you're not loving yourself, what have you got to give to your neighbor? You're going to be miserable. Treat yourself as God wants you to treat both yourselves and others. Let the golden rule begin with me. Treat everyone as you wish to be treated. Treat yourself as you wish others to treat you. Does that make sense? Which means be careful what you say to yourself. You're the first one that hears it. Be good to you. Respect you. Believe in you. The words of Rabbi Hillel, who was an older contemporary of Jesus, speaks here wonderfully. And I committed this to memory many years ago. If I am not for me, who is? And if not now, when? But if I'm only for myself, what am I? I've said that to people. Hey, if you're not for you, you're not going to let anyone else be for you. And what are you waiting for? But if you're only for you, you're going to be very miserable. You know, love yourself not only for God's sake, but because God loves you. If you don't love you, you will not let God's love in. And if God is for you, if God loves you, who can be against you? Hopefully you, not yourself. And then second, self-giving to others. And here's my statement. You are yourself the gift others need. It's self-giving love, you know? You can focus on possessions, but it's self-giving that matters more. What matters most is who you are, that you care, and that you yourself bring you to the relationship. Question, which is more painful, to be in need with your hands open and empty, or to have your hands full and have no one willing to receive what you want to give? Wow. We're here to make a difference. And your gifts of love to others can make a difference, and sometimes the difference for their life. Never underestimate the power of love. You see, each of us has a special gift to give to others that no one else can give in your stead, in your place. A mother has a gift for her children no one else can give. A father has a gift for his children no one else can give. Siblings have a particular kind of love and support that no one else can give. Lovers, husbands and wives, have gifts that no one else can give. Finally, self-giving to God. One of the great prayers of John Wesley begins, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Whenever we give ourselves, give of ourselves to each other, we're already giving to God. Loving is what pleases to God, who is love. There is no greater service that we can render to God than to seek God with our whole beings, to hunger for God, to be delighted with God, to celebrate, enjoy God, which means to be in proximity to God, to know God, to practice the presence of God, as Brother Lawrence did. Some summaries. What you give is what you get. Here's three dimensions, three basic laws that this pertains to. First is the law of spirit, similar to karma. The law of spirit, as you sow, thus you shall reap. The more you give, the more you get. Secondly is the law of soul. Self-giving is the way to self-fulfillment. Our deepest need is to give ourselves in love. You know, for me, even talking right now, this is the way I'm, if I may dare say, I'm loving you, even if I may not know who you are, although I know some of you, because I hear from you and see you other times and you tell me about the show. Writing for me is an act of love. It's all love. And third is the love of God. God's love is ultimately a self-giving love. From fullness, without counting the cost or keeping track of any expenditures. It's a love which loves for its own sake and finds fulfillment in itself, and only in itself. Thus, human love can never approach divine love until it's given away. The law of love is the Holy Spirit. Love has no other need but to fulfill itself, according to Khalil Gibran. Love seeks not but itself and takes not but from itself, for love is sufficient unto love. These are words that are very similar to what Bernard de Clairvaux, the man of the 12th century, wrote, that love is it when you are sharing, receiving, giving, when the three dimensions are working together, you are in God. You are in the Spirit of God. As you receive through baptism, share through communion, give through foot washing one another, even for seeking to be present to God in a loving way. But if you're not willing to give love, how will this endless cycle of love of God be repeated through your life? Love's fulfillment and your own are one in the same. Love's denial and your own unhappiness are pretty much the same thing. If I refuse to be a giver, then whom am I denying needed reception? What people am I denying by scowling instead of smiling? The love of God is either working because of me and my willingness, or sometimes in spite of me and my willfulness. Let the love of God do its work in us, for us, and through us. You see, God the Father is the eternal giver. God the Son is the eternal receiver, the eternal one given, and God the Holy Spirit is the eternal giving between them. How beautiful. And in our relationship with Christ, we receive as he gives, and in receiving, we share with Christ and are built up to give of this love, which is God. Okay, if you'd like to hear this show, I will have it on my website later this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Would you please write me someone? I'm getting some letters at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@ Gmail. In fact, one I'm going to talk about next week, and one of the major questions, folks, tune in. The question is, why do we suffer? How can God make sense of pain, the problem of pain and God? Please listen in as I will address that next week. God bless you. Have a safe week. Love one another.
Broadcasting live from the Muscatine Hy-Vee Studios, KWPC Muscatine, AM 860, K236 CF, Muscatine, FM 95.1.
Good morning. I'm Ty Thomas, and I serve as a lead pastor at Calvary Church. Thanks for tuning in to the service today, and whether you're in your car, at home, or somewhere else listening, I hope that you're blessed. We understand that we're imperfect people, but we're gathering to worship and remember God's grace in our lives. So let's go live to the service already in progress.
Do breakfast, lunch, or dinner in the Market Grill inside Hy-Vee because all menu items are buy one, get one free now through August 16th. That includes burgers, appetizers, drinks, entrees, pasta, sandwiches, pizza, salad, everything on the menu at the Market Grill is buy one, get one free until August 16th inside your Muscatine Hy-Vee.
The 2016 Crossroads Inc. Carnival is coming up on Saturday, August 20th, here in Muscatine. This is Mary Hopkins, and on behalf of everyone at Crossroads, we appreciate the support from the community as we work together to have a great time while raising money for our clients. Our third annual carnival features fun and games for the entire family. Stop out starting at 11 a.m. for Bounce House, a dunk tank, live music, and more. Crossroads Inc. is located on Hauser Street. We look forward to seeing all of you on Saturday, August 20th, for the Crossroads Carnival.
At Concept by Iowa Hearing Aid Centers, we value hard work, we value honor, and we value those who have served our country. That's why we're introducing the Concept Patriot Hearing Device with an introductory low price of $2,400 a pair. This newest addition to Concept's product helps clear away everyday background noise so you can better hear your loved ones' voices and get back to who really matters. Call 888-804-0095 to schedule a free hearing screening by May 31st to take advantage of this offer that, as always, comes with Concept's signature free lifetime aftercare of your device.
Who's lying in my bed? And is it really love we're making? Well, my heart's hanging by a thread. She's the only reason it ain't breaking.